Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, welcome in to the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joseph, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, just another amazing Tuesday of SEC basketball. Just like to point out.
Oh, yeah,
out.
I forgot that was happening. How'd that go?
There was like, you know, four great games, but Florida lost at home to Missouri, which was stunning. And Alabama lost at home to Ole Miss, which was also stunning.
Wow.
There you go. Have you heard of these
Is the conference
schools?
Losing a little bit of its luster? No. What's happening to the heavyweights right now?
No, well, I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. You know, Auburn didn't have Jani Broome last night, and they still blew out Mississippi State, which is like a 3-seed quality team. But, you know, Florida, you know, tough for Florida and Bama. But, I mean, those other teams.
I watched Florida earlier this year. They look great.
They did. They did look very good. Yeah, they played much better against the Vols at home than they did against Missouri. But, I don't think now that you're playing in conference, what you did out of conference doesn't ever change, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to get.
How does this affect your bracketology for the next time you have to do it?
Well, I mean, I just did it yesterday, so a lot of people complained, which is great. I was called an idiot. I mean, like some amazing comments in there about how stupid I am. So we'll see. You know, we have to wait and see what the weekend brings, and then we'll do another one every Tuesday.
That's
every
good.
Tuesday, yes.
That's very good. Keiser?
Get excited.
How we doing? What's going on?
Morning. Yeah, a little tired, doing well, though. So,
big dub for the Preds last night.
Hey, man, that's an interesting win last night for sure. Same guy scored all three of Vegas' goals. So, yeah, anytime you can lead 4-0, though. You know.
I will say, it was 4-0, and I looked at Jim Diamond, who sits next to me at the games. I was like, you watch, this will somehow end up being a one-goal game. Sure enough, about 4 minutes left in the third, it's 4-3, and I'm like, oh, boy, this could be hairy. But credit to the Preds, they closed the deal last night.
Yeah, they did. Got me another dub.
Got another dub. That's right. Joe Rexrode back on the board in Preds Pick to Click. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Titans with him, the general manager search, what's going on with the coaching staff. We'll get into the quarterback conversation with PK. Lots to get to with PK later in the program, so looking forward to all that. We begin on the draft part of this. I heard Trevor Maddich on with Stilley yesterday, and as always, Trevor Maddich, very good, very informative for his Tuesday visits with Jared Stillman. And the top of the draft was brought up in terms of the Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward part of this. And it stemmed from a conversation that Jared brought up about Mel Kiper and his big board. And essentially, he had Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward both in the top five on his billboard. I think Sanders was 4, Ward was 5, or the other way around, one of the two. And the question from Jared to Trevor Maddich was essentially, like, do we actually believe that Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are both top five players in this draft? Or are they both on the big board for Mel Kiper in the top five because he's hedging his bets and he knows that they're going to go high? Like, how do we feel about that? And here's what Trevor Maddich had to say on the top of the draft and the quarterbacks.
You know, you mentioned that some people have a second-round grade on Shedeur, but it doesn't really matter. There's only two quarterbacks you would even consider taking in the first round in this draft, and Shedeur and Cam Ward are those two guys. And so do I think, just from a standpoint of pure talent at any position, that those are the fourth and fifth best in the draft? No, absolutely not. But they do get the extra credit because of quarterback, and I think they'll both go in the top five.
So Trevor Maddich with an interesting point there, and I think it's one that's worth discussing here. So if you believe that Shedeur Sanders and or Cam Ward and or both are top five players in the draft, then taking them number one overall because of they play quarterback, Joe, I don't think is that big of a reach, right?
Not
like
at all.
If you believe that they're both top five players when you grade it out in the draft, even if you don't have him at number one, I think sometimes that quarterback tax, as I like to call it, you can pay when you have somebody that's that close. What if you think like Shedeur Sanders is like 20th or 25th? Or as Trevor Madge pointed out in that clip, what if you got a second round grade on him? Like, can you really justify taking a quarterback number one overall if that's how they've graded out in your mind? Because I think he's right. Somebody's going to. Like, I would be, I don't know if stunned is the right word, but surprised if one or both of them don't go really high in this draft. But if you're the Titans and you don't have them near the top of your draft board when you're grading this thing out, how big of a mistake would that be in your mind to take one of them at number one overall?
Yeah, it's not what you want to do. Now, you know, teams do, beyond quarterback, reach for needs sometimes, right? It's like, well, you know, whatever. We have this guy graded maybe high second round. We have the 18th pick, but this is the best player at that position, and we need an edge, and we're taking the edge, you know? And that happens. It happens way more, to your point on the quarterback tax, at quarterback. So I could see, actually, like, Sanders. I mean, I think Shedeur will probably go number one. That's just my guess because I think he's a better prospect. And I could see, like, Cam Ward surprisingly dropping some, you know? I mean, remember, it was only, 2 years ago that Levis was talked about as the number one pick.
Yep.
Certainly was expected to be, you know, in that high mix, and he goes down to the second. I mean, that can happen to a quarterback. If there's only two quarterbacks we're talking about here, it could happen to one of them, right? But, yeah, it's not what you want to do. I guess it's just, you know, it comes down to like, you know, it comes down to, I don't have a problem if it's like, well, we have, you know, Shedeur ranked 16th or whatever. And okay, but do you, I mean, again, it's like, There's how you grade them, how you rank them, but then that's the ultimate question. Do you think he can be a great quarterback?
Right.
I mean, do you think that this, or are you like, well, I don't know, maybe, but we have to have a quarterback. If that's the answer, then you definitely cannot do it.
And that's what I think you worry about. Now, having said that, like, okay, let's say the Titans have Shedeur Sanders as like their 12th best player in the draft. Well, the ranking is one thing. And we've talked about this before. Most of the time you go by what your board says. I do think it's a little bit different when you have the number one overall pick. Like, there's a pretty good chance when most teams do their grading here that Travis Hunter's probably going to be the best player that they grade out. We're going to get to him a little bit later this hour. You know, Abdul Carter probably going to be pretty high on most people's list. So I doubt that if they're being honest with their grades that they're going to get to a point where they're like, yeah, Shedeur Sanders is the best player in this draft. Does that mean you can't take him at number one overall? Like, if he's like your 13th best player in the draft, but you think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, is that worth the number one overall pick? Like, if you think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback?
Yeah, well, then you get into the other side of it, which is, okay, well, if you think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback and you don't take him, you know, then, again, you can, in this league, you can easily get to the middle.
Exactly.
So then when's your next chance to take, you know, a guy at the top of the draft? It's just, you know, it's like, obviously, right now, if you had a pick, and I don't know for sure what these guys are going to be next year, but you'd probably wait till next year, you know, to be at the top of the draft. But again, like, who is that? I guess it's Drew Aller, right?
I guess.
I mean, people going nuts about Arch.
Depending on if Arch comes out or not.
Yeah. Does Arch complete 50% of his passes next year? I have no idea. You know, I know he can run.
Nico.
Yeah, we talked about Nico. I think Nico has NFL talent. Is he going
to – I mean, if I had to guess right now, he's 2 years away.
That big of a leap?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But I still, like, that's not why I would do it. Even I understand the argument that there, but I still wouldn't do it. I would just take the best football player. I mean, if you really believe that Abdul Carter is, you know, a 10 sack guy for 10 years in this league and is a great player, or if you believe you have a chance at Travis Hunter and you think he's a generational corner or whatever, then to me that's the smarter move.
I agree with you. I also, what's interesting about this as well, And we brought this up with the veteran quarterback discussion yesterday, and we're going to get back into some of that later in the show. But what if you think your best option, forget the long-term part of it, because I still think there's a really interesting conversation just around the Brian Callahan part of this moving forward. What if you think that your best option for winning next year isn't signing Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins or whoever? What if you think, like, Shedeur Sanders gives you the best chance to win immediately? Like, how much does that impact your decision if you're the Titans? Like, you have to find a quarterback this offseason, right? So what if you're looking at this saying, you know what, we really don't like Justin Fields. We got a lot of concerns about Kirk Cousins and the Achilles. Aaron Rodgers retires or whatever happens, and you come away with it saying, well, you know what, Shedeur Sanders may be our best option at quarterback. Does that affect what you do at number one overall?
Well, I mean, to me, if you think that, you must think pretty highly of him.
Well, that or you think really poorly of everybody else.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think a rookie's going to come in and win, and again, he's going to come in with a limited roster, to me, you must think pretty highly of him,
I would think.
I mean, I guess you could think.
Although rookies have come in the last 2 years and done a lot of winning.
Right. It's like, and I'd love to have CJ Stroud or Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think it goes hand in hand. You know, I mean, I guess if you think that, maybe you think he has a low ceiling, you just think he's like a polished prospect now with a low ceiling. But even that, okay, you play winning football at quarterback, okay, then, yeah, then I would say do it, especially if, again, you don't like the veteran options.
I will take your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and how high should they be ranked on the Titans board for them to be considered taking them number one overall. Got a couple thoughts to get to as well on the Cam Ward front. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. What should the Titans do with the number one overall pick? Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm just driving on my way to work. So I've got to get to last week with Joe and Paul for a second, because that was like radio gold. Who's carrying water for who? And like just seeing Joe get all worked up and Paul just, I don't know. I get that, you know, the timing of the sources and stuff and how he's, air quote, not carrying water for Brinker, but there's too many, you know, clues or quacks like a duck if Stillman was here kind of thing.
Mm.
But also, too, I do want to get on to the Sanders Ward. Now, I called in to the 104.5 show after the game, after the Detroit game, and I told them, I said, at this point in time, if you're trying to build in something, I, as a fan, I'm not personally believing in Callahan or Brinker or Carthon. So I have been set on the idea of bringing in Deion, let him be the head coach, drafting Shedeur, give him the key to the city, just his legend status, Hall of Fame status that he plays, I feel like would be able to help change and shift the culture and mindset. Now, it's a flyer. I get it. And it's a far-fetched idea. It could be. However, it looks like somebody, some other teams could be doing the same thing. And if it works out, it could have been us, is all I'm saying. And instead, we'll have Brian Callahan and Peter Skoronski and, you know, some of these other picks that we get stuck with in the first round, because I'm really afraid that we're going to take, like, a tackle. Like, we'll trade down to three and take a tackle. And I'm just not excited about that. But, fellas, great stuff. Joe, keep stirring the pot with Saul, please.
We'll do it later today. Thank you, Jared.
No, I'm going to be nice to him today.
I smoke weed constantly.
Thank you. Thank you. We don't use that drop enough.
We don't. Your thoughts on what Jared from Spring Hill put out there in terms of the Deion part of this? Just go hire Deion. Bring in Shedeur Sanders. Start the whole thing.
Yeah, well.
I think it's probably, I mean, I guess. I was going to say too late for that.
It probably is. I mean, I guess, yeah, in theory it's not.
But we've not heard anything about the Titans coaching staff, so who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm real. That is really interesting.
I'm very interested to get PK's thoughts on that later.
Yes, me too. There you go. There's something that we can do other than berate him later when he comes in the studio. Yeah, I'm very interested in the Deion Cowboys thing. I'm not just completely dismissing that. Yeah, apparently people are really mad at Jared on the whole Brinker wanting Callahan out, which, by the way, I haven't heard that from anybody else. So
I haven't either.
You know, so I'm not saying, I don't know. He said it. He said it on his show.
He did.
So, you know, I'm not sure there, but it doesn't seem like the Titans are going to be doing anything at coach, at head coach. It doesn't seem like they're going to be doing anything at any coach.
May not do anything in any coach. I don't know. Ty on the text line says, it's crazy how people see players differently. I watch Cam Ward, and he plays with such ease. Reminds me a lot of Mahomes, with an eyeball emoji.
That's wow.
From Ty on the text line.
Look, man, let me be the first to say, let me raise my hand. I was so sure that Ryan Leaf would be better than Peyton Manning. I'm wrong all the time. So you may be right. I agree. I watch Cam Ward sometimes, and I'm like, my God, did you see that throw? He just sidearmed that sucker 40 yards on a rope.
Yeah.
And then it's like, dude, did you really just throw across your body while jumping out of bounds, and then you tried to throw it to the other hash?
Yeah.
That's the easiest pick six I've ever seen given to the other team. So does that mean that he's destined to continue to take chances like that? No, but I just feel like it's just kind of all over the place. I agree. At times, it's like, I think he is the most talented for sure. I just, with Shador, I see a guy who, you know, he makes the occasional mistake. He had a bad pick six against Nebraska, but pretty solid, man. And the ball, it's just the accuracy. That's where I underrated Stroud, and that's one thing I vowed to not do again in my quest to not be a total idiot about quarterbacks. Stroud, remember, I was down on him. Now I was hugely high on Bryce Young. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about that. But with Stroud, it was always like, okay, great. He's got the greatest offensive line. He's got like three first-round picks at receiver.
Everybody's wide open all the time.
Yeah, but he was so accurate in college. And that's what Shador is to me. And to me, man, there are very few things that are more important than just consistently getting that ball into that spot. And I think that's where I think he's quite a bit better than Cam Ward, more consistent.
Skyler says, the Titans drafting Shador, the only hope. Deion Sanders will not let his son fail. Deion is the only person that could shift the direction of this franchise. I hate the idea of the circus, but it's the only hope for the Titans franchise. This is from Skyler on the text line.
Is Skyler a big Joe Burner?
I don't know.
I mean, look at that number. If Skyler starts berating me and calling me a Titans homer to get me pissed off, then I'll know for sure.
There you go. I mean,
but he's big on it.
Look, I don't think Deion Sanders is coming here. I don't think it's going to happen. Question is, number one, is he going to Dallas? And number two, what does that mean for Shador? Like, are they going to make a push? If he gets hired by the Cowboys, are they going to make a push for Shador? Now, on the Prescott part of this, which he brought up yesterday, like, they just signed him to a new deal. So I have not sitting here and, like, scoped over Dak Prescott's contract. I would have to imagine, like, the dead money, if they moved him, would be astronomical. So I don't know how that works, how that fits in to all of this and what the plans would be there. Again, I just find the whole picture coming together of Deion in Dallas and then Shador following there, I think it's hard to pull that off. Like, because to me, Joe, and I said this yesterday, like, Deion, I think, would have to agree to be the head coach before you could really ever get started on the Shador part of this, right? Like, I don't think a trade for a number one overall pick is going to happen until, like, March at the earliest, right? So, I mean, likely.
Yeah.
So, you would have to be the head coach, and in the back of your mind, probably be okay if you're Deion Sanders if they don't end up drafting your son. And is that going to be a thing?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, so I'm looking at so it's apparently the dead money in a trade, $105.3 million.
Yes, Dallas. I don't think that's going to happen.
So think about, you know, we talked yesterday about them taking on some salary. That's not happening. So if you're trading for him, you're getting the whole contract, and then Dallas is that's a huge number because the cap is real, and yeah, that is a problem.
So you can probably forget about the Dak Prescott stuff. Would be my guess.
Yeah, and look, I think Deion to Dallas probably isn't happening. I am, in the next couple of days, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if it continues to be a thing, and then it's like, okay, or if it calms down. But you're exactly right. If Deion's going to make this move, then you have to – if you're only doing it because you're getting Shedeur, then, I mean, you're taking a leap. I mean, then the Cowboys are going to have to do some serious mortgaging for that to happen. And if you're Jerry Jones, is it worth all that?
Probably not. I don't know. Like, again, I am really interested to see – you know, it's one thing we talk about this every year. The draft discussion in the immediate aftermath of the season and the draft discussion by the time April rolls around generally ends up being two pretty different things. Like, there's more information, somebody wows at the combine, your favorite event of the year. Like, you know, Anthony Richardson, we were talking about, like, should he really come out of college? And then he got to the combine and people were like, oh my God, he's the most athletic quarterback of all time. Like, people. The perception of these guys is going to change between now and the time they're drafted.
For sure.
I guess how much? Like, Charles Robinson, we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks, and specifically Sanders and Ward. And he's made it pretty clear that there's a lot of teams that don't have a first-round grade on either one of them. Does that change drastically between now and the time the draft comes? When you have an opportunity to interview both of them, when you have an opportunity to see them both work out, to see them throw – I have no idea if either one of them are going to do the combine because that's not always a thing anymore. So we'll see what that looks like. But how much does the discussion on those two guys specifically change between now and the draft? And is there another quarterback, even though I think this is way less likely, is there another quarterback that enters into discussion between now and then in terms of possible first-round guys?
Well, but I think that's – I would say that's more likely than either of them significantly dropping. You know what I mean? Again, like maybe Cam Ward, no one is in love, and people are worrying he goes 11th or what. You know what I mean? But I think those two guys are going to stay the top two guys. That's my question, is there a third guy? You know, I mean, again, like Bo Nix going in the first round. As of a year ago, we would have laughed at that.
Yeah.
But the Broncos loved him.
It worked out well.
Yeah. And they were, you know, it turned out to be a good pick. Like Dylan Gabriel, the next Oregon quarterback. Or, you know, there are other guys out there who definitely could elevate, I would say.
Jalen Milroe.
I mean, listen. So, I don't know who did it. I think it might have been Sando, but I'm not sure. But someone had this, mid-season execs and who they thought was the first quarterback to go. And, like, five of them had Milroe.
If he played like he did against Georgia all the time,
he's gone. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, stay the heck away from the NFL. Right. It's a
really weird one.
Yes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We brought up Trevor Maddich earlier. He had an interesting take on another draft prospect yesterday that I think the Titans – really should consider. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We will have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us later in the program. There's a lot of Titan stuff to get into with him, from the general manager search, what's going on with the coaching staff. We'll get into the quarterback stuff with him as well, so looking forward to that later in the show. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. So we brought up Trevor Maddich earlier and his thoughts on Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and whether or not they are worthy of being the number one overall pick as the Titans consider those options moving forward here. One person that I think we would all agree is worthy of being the number one overall pick would be Travis Hunter. And he was brought up with Maddich yesterday on Stillman & Company about if Trevor was the general manager, what would he do? What would be his course of action? Here's what Trevor Maddich had to say on the Travis Hunter front.
I take Travis Hunter because I am fairly certain, you know, upwards of 95% that he's going to be an impact player on either side of the ball and probably both sides of the ball when you use him in packages. And so I would take Travis Hunter first. Now, having said that, I would be stunned if the Titans did not take one of the two quarterbacks, Shedeur or Cam. But if it were me, I would take Hunter.
So that was Trevor Maddich. Said he'd be stunned if the Titans didn't take one of the two quarterbacks, if they stick at number one, but said that he would take Travis Hunter. And, Joe, another thing he brought up there is, to me, something that the Titans are going to have to get to the bottom of between now and April. He brought up being an impact player on both sides of the ball. And to me, we've talked about that a little bit. We know what Travis Hunter did in college, which is why he won the Heisman Trophy. He was an electrifying receiver. He was a really good corner. So I think most people look at him and they say, well, he's got the chance to be a pretty darn good corner at the NFL level. Can he really play both sides of the football in the National Football League? It seems like a pretty tough thing to do. Having said that, if he can, Joe, that could end up, to me, being a pretty big separator, because that can fill two pretty big roles on your team at once if he's available to do that. And I'm not saying that he's got to play receiver every snap for you on offense, but if you're the Titans and you're looking at the film and you're getting to know the player and you feel good about his conditioning and you like everything, you know, the intangibles, the tangibles, as you're going through the draft process with Travis Hunter, and you get to the end of it and you say to yourself, you know what? I think he can be an elite cornerback in this league. And I also think that there's going to be times within a game, within a series, whatever it is, that we can use him to our advantage on the offensive side of the ball, and he can be a difference maker there too. Like, how would that not be really, really tempting if you feel like he can do that? The question, I guess, is do you feel like he can do that at the NFL level and play on both sides of the football?
Yeah, I have serious doubts about that. Like, I mean, Maddich's answer there, I think, is, to me, says the same thing that I have been saying about Travis Hunter. He said, use him in packages. You're not using him in packages on defense, right? I mean, he's playing defense.
Right.
That's how I look at him. So, yeah, like, here and there, I'm trying to think of the most, you know, utilized two-way player that we can remember. I mean, Deion was a great returner. I think I want to say that here and there he popped up on offense. I think that's right. Charles Woodson, a little bit, but not much. I just think in this league, with the first of all, I mean, even the mental side of the game, you know, and defensive game plans, and just the grueling nature of playing on either side of the ball. I don't think there's any way he's like a two-way player like he was in college. I don't think that's possible.
I don't know if that's possible either. But I don't know how many guys we've seen exactly like him though. It just in terms of the how good he was on both sides of the ball in college.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's special. And that's why I'm kind of with Maddich on that too. I'm like, man, I mean, who's the best football player? You got a chance at the best football player in the whole draft? Probably going to go well for you if you take the best football player in the whole draft. He's the best football player. But to me, in the NFL, he's a corner, and I think he's a legit number one corner. It could be the best corner in the NFL before long. And then I think if you flipped it around and some team was like, he's a receiver, I don't think he's going to be like in the conversation with Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson someday as the best receiver in the NFL. I just don't. I think he's really good. And I think he could definitely make plays in the NFL and be some kind of a difference maker. But corner is where he's, to me.
Let me ask you this.
Exceptional.
Let's say he didn't play corner and he was coming into the draft as a receiver. Where do you think he'd go?
Low first round.
Okay.
I think he'd be viewed as probably the top slot receiver in the draft. Which, again, nothing against slot receivers. I mean, I'd probably take Amon-Ra St. Brown after Jefferson and Chase. I might take him next in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, I mean, that can be an incredibly valuable weapon. But he's not the, you know, physically, he's not the same thing as those guys on the outside. He's like 6 foot, right?
Right.
And he's perfect size for an elite dominant corner. But, yeah, I think he's a low first-round pick as strictly a receiver.
I'm interested to see how teams view that. Because, look, I mean, this is no surprise. He said that, you know, he wants to play both sides of the football in the NFL. Of course he does.
Sure.
So that's great. How do NFL teams view that? Like, are the Titans one of them? Are there NFL teams out there that say, you know what, we love this kid as a corner, and we feel like maybe not every series, but 15 snaps a game, 18 snaps a game, that he can help us on offense? Because if you feel that way, to me, that's pretty enticing.
It adds value, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, sorry to bring this up, but like when they drafted Adoree Jackson, some people were like, that's a little high for him as a corner, but he's going to be a huge thing in the return game. And we know,
did not
that,
go well.
We know that turned out. But that was the idea, right?
Right.
You add value somewhere else. Like Chris on the text line says, is cornerback the biggest hole we have? No, but okay. But see, that's where teams get in trouble if they think that way, right? Take the best football player. First of all, I have no idea if L'Jarius Sneed will play another meaningful snap.
You might have a hole at cornerback.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, Chidobe Awuzie's had a lot of injuries, too. Yeah, Brownlee was a very nice fifth-round pick. But look, man, if he's that good, believe me, it will pay off big time for you to have a corner of that quality. Look around the NFL. I mean, look at in the playoffs this last week. The value for the Texans of having a guy like Stingley in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, he made some plays where he closed on some plays where I'm like, I don't know how many corners in the league. I think in most situations, that throw, that route, for like that's what Justin Herbert saw is a touchdown or a big play, but he just destroyed it. I mean, do not downplay what it means to have a corner like that. And I think Travis Hunter is a corner like that.
Yeah, if I don't think you can ever go wrong taking a corner that you feel like is going to be an elite guy. I understand if you're a Titans fan saying, all right, well, we've got a pretty glaring need, obviously, at quarterback. You still have a glaring need at tackle on the offensive line, edge rusher, wide receiver. Like, all of those are needs before cornerback is a need. So I get that. But they, again, that's where the Hunter part of this adds intrigue because – like, if the Titans get to the end of it and they feel like he can help them on offense, maybe that pushes you over the top in taking him at that point. And you have the elite corner, and you feel like whether it's 10 snaps a game, 5 snaps a game, whatever it is, that he can help you on the offensive side, I mean, that could end up being the difference to me if I'm the Titans.
Yeah, look, I'd give the guy a couple jet sweeps a game.
Absolutely. I mean,
give him a little bit of space, and
yeah,
that could be a problem. Good point, Ethan from Lawrenceburg. How dare you leave Mike Vrabel out of the two-way player domination?
Yeah.
He caught like 50. He actually caught 10 passes, Ethan, and they were all touchdowns. And by the way, like, how if you're the opposing team when Vrabel gets on the field,
I
do you not know that Brady does not care about anybody else catching the pass but Vrabel? And then he still got open.
I don't know, man. I mean,
ridiculous.
I mean,
Patriots got handed all those.
Did the Titans? I can't remember. I know the Titans back in the day. When they had Pac-Man.
Sure.
Great returner.
Oh,
yeah. I'm trying to remember if they put him on offense for a few snaps. If they did, it wasn't very much. But I think they might have used him on offense.
He's the type of guy that you do that stuff with, too,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I mean, and yeah, like if you can actually get like 15 to 20 snaps of receiver out of Hunter, that's a big deal. I just, man, that's hard, though. You know? I mean, like, it is a, like, on either side of the ball, but I think especially at receiver.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot that goes into that position.
No doubt. No doubt. Mike from Pennsylvania says, Hunter is intriguing, but I'm just worried. Is he a jack of all trades and a master of none? I just don't know if that translates to the league. I think Carter would be the safer pick. It's from Mike on the text line.
I understand that, but I don't think he is. I think he's a master of corner. I think he's – and I think as the – I think – and we'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I think as the draft – process continues, that's what you're going to hear is people say, yes, he is elite as a corner and he could be really good as a receiver.
I got one text that says the problem with drafting Travis Hunter number one is that they paid a lot of money for L'Jarius Sneed, and that's a lot of money in draft capital for one position. I agree with that. Well, I agree with it.
You're 3-14, dude. You suck. Just get good players.
But if it's not gonna, let's say the Titans get through the end of the evaluation process and it's not going to be a quarterback. I've said it, you know, my first blush of this thing after the season was, well, if you got the number one overall pick and you don't love either one of the quarterbacks, just take Abdul Carter. Because I feel pretty good about Abdul Carter being a darn good player in the NFL as an edge rusher. And there's no doubt they need an edge rusher.
Yeah. But visions of Trevon Walker come to mind.
Yeah.
Like, good player, but God, that's not a number one pick player.
Right.
Is Abdul Carter?
I don't know.
I don't know either. He's freaking good.
He looks pretty darn good.
No, he's good. He's good.
I feel good about him being a pretty productive player. Is he going to be an elite pass rusher? Because that's what you need him to be if you're taking him number one overall. I feel good about Travis Hunter being a great NFL player. And I think corner, you're right, is going to be the primary position. I think it's one thing to really monitor throughout the draft process is how much does the conversation of him playing offense come up with these teams around the NFL. We'll take more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the Travis Hunter part of this. Plus, there's one thing with the Titans that I'm just really struggling to care about. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Check out Vanderbilt men's basketball tonight on 94.9 The Fan. Commodores taking on South Carolina at Memorial Gym with a 5 o'clock tip-off pregame at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Vanderbilt men's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball. Coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium February the 5th through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets.
I got a correction, sort of, on the text line.
Okay.
But Caleb from Dixon says, actually, Vrabel caught 12 passes, Joe. So I was right that it was 10 catches, 10 touchdowns with the Patriots. He did have two more with the Chiefs, though.
Mm.
He had those two touchdowns with the Chiefs. And still, he says, nah, this isn't like other places, folks. You know, you go back and listen to the presser when, you know, act like a dude, you know.
I forgot about that one. That was a good one.
Yeah, well, that was all after this New England stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things Vrabel mentioned is like, well, you know, we won 6 Super Bowls, you know, that stuff. Talking about how he's like, yeah, I went to Kansas City. We went 6-10. We were just trying to find ways. We're like, dang, taking some shots at Kansas
City.
Nice
shot at the Chiefs.
Right.
But no shots at the Titans.
Santa and Portland. I don't care who they pick at number one. As long as when the season starts, we get to stop talking about the needs on offensive line. This is from Santa and Portland. I think most Titans fans would agree with that. Question is that going to be the case?
Well, yeah. I think somewhere in this draft, they're going to draft at least one offensive lineman, if not more than one. But they're going to sign somebody too. Who? I have not looked at the right tackle market or the offensive tackle market. Again, it's very rare that good ones get there, but it's not a crazy idea to think better ones than what they had last year will get there. So they're going to do something.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope there's some better ones than what they had last year available at right tackle. Look, this is, again, a situation where having a third-round pick be pretty nice. So yeah. We're talking about options at number one overall. I still think like the best option, if you can swing it, would be to trade down and pick up some more picks and still end up with like a Travis Hunter or an Abdul Carter. Like if there's a way for you to do that, that's probably to me what I would settle for out of court right now if I'm the Titans. And I know we're 3 months out from the draft at this point, but that to me still trading down, being able to pick up some additional draft capital and then signing, you know, you probably would have done this before the draft, but signing a quarterback and free agency and going from there would probably be the way that if Robbie Stanley was in charge, I'd be leaning right now.
Me too, based on what I know. But that's where they know way more than us. So if they know or they think they know that one of those guys is actually the guy that they want, that they think can lead this franchise into the new stadium and into the next 10 years, well, then there you go. Then you proceed that way through free agency. Right now, and I think this is how it's going to go. I think that it's more likely that they sign somebody and then try to get out of there.
Yeah, I think so.
And try to add to the draft capital. They certainly need picks. In any scenario, they need picks.
No doubt about that. So one thing we're going to get into with Kuharsky later in the show is the search for the next general manager for the Titans. And they've narrowed down that list. They're still conducting, you know, second interviews here. I got to say, Joe, and I was talking about this last night at the Preds game with Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. It's real difficult for me to care about this general manager process, knowing that, I mean, Chad Brinker is going to be the one making decisions. He's going to be the one that's got final say. They put that out there. So you've called it the assistant director of the regional manager. Assistant to the regional manager. That's kind of what it feels like in the search. Like Gentry kind of has the same thought on it. It's like, you know, I would normally care, but they're not going to be the actual general manager, so who cares? I'm finding it very difficult to give a crap about this general manager search. And quite frankly, according to some of the reaction we've seen, I think a lot of Titans fans are finding it difficult to give a crap about this general manager search.
Yeah, can't blame you. Look, it's an important position. I guess it's almost like people look at this similar to the way they look at, you know how like Nick Holtz got so little crap this last year, I thought, from fans, whereas if he was the play caller, then I think half of the conversation would have been because they were bad. Not that it should have been. I don't think play calling was anywhere near the top issue for the Titans, but that's just how it goes. Often the play caller gets crap, right? And it's the same thing. It's like, who's that? Oh, yeah, I guess. But now, Nick Holtz had a very important job this year, and if he has it next year, apparently they all get raises and they all stay.
I guess.
Then it's a very important job, but it's just not the same. It just isn't looked at the same. I don't know if that's how it was with, like, Brian Callahan and Cincy, but it's just how it is. And I think the same thing for this. It's like, okay, so who ultimately, when it comes down to it, who's going to take the credit if they have an amazing draft this year? And if they have a terrible draft, who is everybody going to blame? It's Chad Brinker.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, it's not like this search is unimportant. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of unimportant. I don't really care.
I mean, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a well-paid
job. I'm sure the person who gets it will be highly qualified, and they're getting paid a lot of money, and good for them.
Yeah, but your director of scouting, your director of player personnel, all these things, pro personnel, I mean, all those people in a personnel department are very important.
Yeah.
So this person will be too, and no one will talk about it.
Exactly. So
congrats.
It's just a really interesting search here. Look, we will get into it with Kuharski. You know, he's kind of done a deep dive on some of these guys. So we will get into some of the options that the Titans have moved forward here with in that process. But I was just thinking about it yesterday as some of the names continued to trickle out there and the interviews were announced, the second interviews, the finalists. It's like, okay, cool. Let me know when they've hired somebody, and then I guess I'll care.
I mean,
it's basically just where I'm at.
And it's almost like, let's interview 17 people so that we can just constantly, you know,
stay in the cycle. Yeah.
Have news other than, hey, look, we're a complete disaster.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the veteran quarterback discussion coming up next. Which option would most benefit Brian Callahan next season? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.